Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. First of all, a word of welcome to all who are worshiping with us this morning, be it from the comfort and safety of home or here in the body of church. And as always, we are grateful to Malika and David for leading up our tech ministry and to Brooke for hosting Coffee Hour for us. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. There is a book at home that I enjoy dipping into from time to time. It is written by a Roman Catholic systematic theologian known for his translation and notes on Augustine's Confessions. But this book is of a different character. Drinking with the Saints, the Sinner's Guide to a Holy Happy Hour. Perhaps we should add it to our library here. I hope Carol is listening. The author goes through the calendar of saints, relating scriptural and legendary references for each, and then offers suggestions and recipes for cocktails or appropriate beers and wines to celebrate each of the saints. His knowledge of vineyards around the world is quite remarkable, especially given that he is now, as far as I understand, teaching at a Baptist university in Texas. If you are throwing a party for the Feast of St. James, he suggests you might want to try your hand at a flaming Gallican punch or Kamada, an alcoholic punch with close cultural ties to the area in which Santiago de Compostela is located. Traditionally, one recited a spell against witches and demons while making the punch, but this can be substituted for a more pious and effective blessing or prayer. The cocktail is made with lemons, whole coffee beans, cinnamon sticks, and practically any fire water from the Hispanic world. And all of this you warm gently and then dramatically set on fire, I suppose, like a flambé. I have not tried it. Why on earth is this an appropriate drink for St. James, who we celebrate today? Well, Jesus calls James and his brother John Boanerges, or sons of thunder, because of their fiery disposition. This personality trait is perhaps most highlighted when the Samaritans refuse to welcome Jesus in their midst. The brothers are outraged by the slight against their Lord, and they say, "Lord, do you want us to ask fire to come down from heaven upon them and consume them, even as Elijah did?" This earns them a rebuke. "You know not what manner of spirit you are of, for the Son of Man has not come to destroy lives, but to save them." So it does beg the question, who is this fiery disciple? He is sometimes referred to as St. James the Greater. That is, of course, to distinguish him from the other apostle known as St. James the Less, the author of the epistle. James the Great was called to follow Jesus along with his brother John, as well as Andrew and Peter. Like them, he was a fisherman. He became one of the specially chosen inner circle who were particularly close to Jesus. This is the three who were present with Jesus on many important events and times, at the raising of Jairus' daughter, on the Mount of the Transfiguration, on the way up to Jerusalem, in the Garden of Gethsemane on the night of agony. Their name, Sons of Thunder, implies a strength of character and an impulsive zeal. And don't they come by it honestly? Consider the gospel we just heard read. "Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee with her sons came up to him, and kneeling before him, she asked, Grant that my sons may sit one at your right hand and the other at your left in your kingdom. Now, is that bold or what? Talk about chutzpah. In Mark's version, it is simply the two brothers who ask the question for themselves. Why Matthew makes this distinction, this difference, is not quite certain. He may not have wanted them to look as ambitious, though frankly, having the mother ask on their behalf, I think, makes them look even worse. And so it is, in both renditions, Jesus turns to the two brothers and gives the answer. You do not know what you are asking. Can you drink of the cup of my suffering and be baptized with the baptism of my blood? And yes, their answer is ever so confident. Yes, we can. They are ready, it seems, to pay the price of servanthood, to pay the price of discipleship, maybe even to pay the price of glory. There are many, many times in life when we need to be careful what we ask for. We can often get more and sometimes less than expected. Well, in the case of these sons of thunder, they certainly do get much more. You do not know what you are asking. John Henry Newman says this: generous hearts like James and John or Peter often speak largely and confidently beforehand of what they will do for Christ. Not insincerely, yet ignorantly. And for their sincerity, they are taken at their word, though they have yet to learn how serious that word is. They desire to be disciples. They desire that place of glory at the right hand and at the left. And indeed, as many have commented, they are destined to pay for it. But they really don't understand what that is. The assumptions behind their request are wrong, as Jesus goes on to explain. The disciples had begun to argue about their precedence in the kingdom of God, and Jesus called to them and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you. Whoever would be great must be your servant, and whoever be first must be your slave. For the Son of Man came also not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." The princes, the rulers of the Gentiles, lord it over them, but it shall not be so among you. As the late Father Robert Krauss reminds us, the ways of God's kingdom are very different. Its princedom and authority are of a very different kind. Its kingship is the kingship of a servant. Its liberty is found in willing obedience. Its warfare is not with clash of arms and noise of battle. Its struggles, its conflicts are much deeper and more crucial than that. For he goes on, its battles are the battles of the human spirit, and its enemies are the subtle and deadly demons of greed, of vain ambition, pride, envy, and hypocrisy, and all such perversities of spirit that separate us from God's love and from each other. Let this same mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He took upon himself the form of a servant and became obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Jesus, who is the way and the truth and the life, shows us what this kingdom life is all about. Indeed, he is the kingdom life, in whom we find our liberty, our freedom, and our peace. He stoops to be baptized. He breaks down barriers of all kinds. He is willing to suffer. His body is broken and his blood is shed. Indeed, he is obedient, even unto death. As we sing in Holy Week, he reigns and triumphs from the tree. And that is the glory proclaimed in the liturgy of the church as we come to the font for holy baptism, as we break the bread and drink the cup, proclaiming his death until he comes. Imitate what you celebrate. Behold what you are. Become what you see, says the ancient wisdom of the church. We wash and we cleanse and we renew. We break the bread and we drink the cup. Imitate what you celebrate. Well, what a very hard lesson that is for us. And when I take a deep look at my own life, and maybe when you take a deep look at yours, when we see all the troubles that stretch us and perplex us and frighten us, it is evident enough that those pomps and glories are vain indeed, and that our trust in them is to our destruction. Today we celebrate the festival of an apostle and martyr. An apostle is one who is sent. A martyr is one who witnessed and gave of their whole self. This day reminds us that we too have our apostleship and our martyrdom. For we are sent and we are witnesses. In our sending, our going forth, we witness to that glorious new life of Christ, which is the emergence of God's kingdom within us and within our world. We are sent to show in word and in deed a different kind of kingdom, a different way of being that the world often holds up as valuable. Jesus said, "Whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." Thanks be to God for St. James, for his willingness to be sent, for his apostolic zeal in witnessing to the way of Christ, and for his prayers that strengthen us along the way. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.